Revolution
Radio.
All right, how you guys doing out there today on Wednesday, hump day, as they call it? Hope you guys are all doing great on your little break time here. Some of you are going to break. I'm back on the radio today, and just to bring the word, I was looking at a lot of different things and looking at issues that we have going on that seems to be a never-ending story. Our economic markets that are showing that nothing is getting better. And it seemed like it started with China, but anybody knows history knows that the stock market is repeating history. And the guy, I think today the lady was looking at the lady because there's certain words they don't want used on TV because they're trying to keep the people from going into panic stages. And one is crash. The lady used before the stock market crashed this time. And the lady was kind of looking. And I'm good at reading body gestures and, you know, facial gestures, eyes and stuff. After I've watched the show for a while, I tend to kind of notice how people respond to different things. But it was a word that she was not supposed to use. And I look at the world today and where we're at, you know. And it's really a funny thing because Christ told before he returned what would be going on. And, you know, one of the biggest admonition he gave her, one of the things he said, he told her before he came back, and what would be the signs of his coming, and this is Matthew's 24, the Gospel of Matthew, verse 24, and what he said was in verse 4, 24 and 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, because they were asking him, which would be the end, and verse 3 actually tells you that. And he says, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, take heed, pay close attention, that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, it shall deceive many. That was one of the first things he really had told them. You know, we pick up on verse 1 because I was thinking about the chapter 21 of Luke, the gospel, and I'm going to talk about that because for some reason that's on my mind, and I'm definitely going to share that with you. But he was telling people, watch out for deceivers. So that would be the biggest thing going on today, even down into the natural, the government. You know, everybody seems to be working in what is called deception now. It's just like this, just one big deception game. You know, our stock market is not doing good, and it looks like it's really about to collapse. But instead of telling the people of, you know, what is going on and maybe they should be aware and be prepared, you know, kind of making some provisions, they try to tell them, stay calm. All is well. When they know it's not, they know the media is no more than one big propaganda machine now. When you look at media, that's all you're really watching is propaganda. You don't even get real news no more, especially here in America. Overseas, they seem to like to tell the truth because they know America has a lot to hide, and they're continually, consistently trying to hide something from the people. So RT loves exposing America's dirt. That's why they say they have to have something to go up against it, because they got to have a way to combat the truth, you know. And it seems like our country is full of lies. You know, even when you go, I live in the South at this point, in a particular point of my life, and you go down the street, you got multiple churches, but nothing is getting better. You know, nothing. I mean, you look at the people, they're following, the perverse mind seems to be prevailing. You know, homosexuality, that's what I'm talking about. And not just that, that's not the only sin in the world, but that is one that is called an abomination. So there's a high level of depravity in man. And so I'm just looking at it. I said, we have all these churches on every block. We're all falling apart. Man don't know what to do. He's looking at his demise, and, you know, there's a scripture, and I said, I'm going to go back to something I want to look at because it's really, it's something that's on my mind. I'm going to definitely deal with it. It's what Jesus said that a lot of people don't understand. Let me just read this one scripture, and I'm going to jump into that. And this is Luke 21. It says, man's heart failing them for fear and looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. But then to us that believe and have stood in the scripture and have gone through this great tribulation time, then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your head. Stop looking down. For your redemption draw nigh. We're close to his return. Okay? That's what it's telling us. Look up. When we see all this stuff, all this confusion, man heart telling for things that are happening, you go to verse 25, which we're getting down to the last tetrad of this month, and all the stuff in the heavens that has happened, you know, with the moon, the sun, all these things are leading up to Christ's return. He said, in verse 25, it said, then shall there be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and up on earth, distress of nations, perplexity, seas and waves. When you see all these hurricanes, you see all the signs of Christ's return. That's what you're looking at. But then at the same time, we got this one big propaganda machine. Of course, it's being controlled by Satan, trying to make us think everything is okay. This has been happening since the fathers fell asleep, as they say. They were willfully ignorant, as the Bible says. And I get that scripture, but they're willfully looking. They look at what is going on today, and they say, and this is 2 Peter chapter 3. See, this is what the media is trying to project in your mind. This is what all this propaganda is about in your mind. When you're actually looking, if you have any rationality in you, you would know something's wrong. And those who don't know God, don't know, return to his son, Jesus Christ, they don't know what to do. All they see is the world spiraling out of control with no hope. There's no way they're going to make it. That's all they see. They see that it's coming to end regardless of what they want. And then so the media, TV, everything has become a distraction to keep your mind off of what's really going on. And if you got an ear to hear, then you will understand that Christ is getting near. And all these are warning because God is a fair God. He's a very fair God. And so he's putting all the stops out for you to know, get yourself together. My son is soon be there. Okay, this is 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful, paying attention of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and the commandments of the apostles of our Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, after their own sinful desires, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And for this they are willingly, it's not like they're ignorant and don't know it, they're willing to play a blind eye to what is going on in their world, and ignorant, okay, they are willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God, by his power and authority, by God's power and authority, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But it was by the power and authority of God these things happened. It says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, by the same God, by his same power and authority, are kept in store, reserved unto fire after the day of the fire against the day of judgment, a perdition, and over destruction of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that all should turn. See, this is why all these things are happening. This is why all these distresses are coming up on earth first. This is going on so you can repent. You know what repent means? Scriptural repentance. And read the Bible, because a lot of people say, it is turned from your way. But the Bible tells you what repentance is. In 55:7 of Isaiah, this is what repent really means scripturally. 55:7, this is what scriptural repentance is. It says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, that corrupt state of mind. The wicked in the course of life he's going, of course, is being governed by that state of mind. The unrighteous man, his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You see, that's repentance. And let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man, his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. Turn around. Go to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So he is being patient by letting all these things take place where man counts as slackness. God don't care about us. He will let us have. He is doing that so you can repent, so you can see that the end of time has come, and he's still giving you a way of escape so you do not have to suffer eternal damnation. That's what people don't understand. This is what is going on. He's doing this for you. He can come at any time, and then you can stand there and say he is an unjust God. He just sun and sun and no warnings and nothing. But people are willfully ignorant of what they're seeing. You know, I listen to people talk about, well, some technology, so all these things, this stuff has not always happened. There's some things we have had happen, but the condition of the world today is in the worst condition it has ever been. And what is the Lord calling for? For you to repent, for you to turn to him, for you to understand the need, the necessity of Jesus' name, as I was highlighting Acts 2:38 the other week, showing that Acts 2:38 contains a whole lot of scriptures in it, even though it tells you, it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for what? The remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I was shown in Luke 24 how he told him that repentance, remission of sins, should be preached in his name, beginning at Jerusalem. So there you have repentance and remission of sin in Acts 2:38. And then I was showing in John, the Gospel of John, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We will not be able to get in. There is water and spirit in Acts 2:30 because it's to repent and be baptized, okay, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, okay? So there is water and spirit. And then Acts 4:12 also is contained there. It said, there's no other name under, neither is there any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Okay? What is in Acts 2:38 once again? The name. To repent and be baptized, what? In the name of Jesus Christ for what? The remission of sins. What else is there? That's one scripture that contains all these verses in it. And he says in Revelation 1:5, it says that he washed us with his own blood from our sins. He washed us from our sins in his own blood. Revelation 1:5. So what is there? The blood also is applied in Acts 2:38. It says, for to be baptized, repent and be baptized, everyone in the name of Jesus Christ, what? the remission of sins. All that's contained in Acts 2:38. So that's the plan of escape. That's the everlasting covenant between you and God. The children of Israel, that is a covenant. That's that one way, one mind. There's not multiple ways. There's but one way. So we're sitting here and we're looking at our world die. What are you going to do for yourself? What are you going to do? I look at the scripture because he was telling us in all the different things that were the beginning of all these ends when he was using, he was talking about the different destructions, the different, when he talks about that Israel will be under, Jerusalem will be under the control of the Gentile to the times of the end. Those times is not talking about a succession of time. It's talking about time, you know, different prophetic events. The first one, when he said this one stone won't be left upon another, that was the time of Nero and Titus. Then there is the time now where the so-called, these people who are there now who are not really Israelite, went to go restore and rebuild, which they call themselves their Edomites, and they said they would go, Esau's children would go there and rebuild it. You know, those who say they are Jews and are not, they're Jewish, they're practicing somebody else. Tradition, they really don't belong here, but they're stolen the land. And then the last scripture, and that's because I'm talking about Luke 21, when he says, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down." Luke 21. Verse 24, verse 24, people, in all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So that's what I'm talking about, the different, and it says the times. So those different things that prophetically have to deal with them. So the last advent of the Gentiles will be the Antichrist ruling from the Temple Mount. I have a book called The Caliphate. Rise of the Islamic Nation in the Temple Mount, and that's why it's called that, because eventually there will be a caliphate, and the Antichrist will rule from the Temple Mount. Three different specific scriptural things, actually three? Yeah, it's three. It's actually in a four and a six, because they were led away captives in all nations. And they have never come back yet, because Christ is the only one who's going to restore the true Israelites, Israel. But we've seen all this. We're at the time now, the time of the Gentiles. The last part of this scripture is about to be fulfilled with them, with the Antichrist coming on the scene. That's what you're seeing when you're looking at ISIS, you know, Daesh, ISIL. That is the spirit of the Antichrist. They're not fighting a people. They're fighting an ideology. How do you kill an ideology? And it's the Antichrist ideology that is taking the world. It said, though they don't believe it in Habakkuk 1, those people are going to take, they're going to look and they're going to take the world. How? Because it is the spirit of the Antichrist. You know, so when you sit there and you're looking at all these things, you know, he said, look up. Look up. This is almost all over now. And we sit here acting like we're going to keep on going. The stock market's crashing. Why is the stock market? Why is that market like that? What's really going to be destroyed now? The world's reserve currency. What do I mean by that? I'm talking about the American dollar. I'm talking about a financial collapse, because that is going to lead to the Antichrist coming in with his own monetary system, with the false prophet, which is your Pope, who's going to introduce the actual Antichrist, who's going to be over the Arab nations. Okay? And I just want to share with you Habakkuk 1 and 6. He says, "For lo, I rise up the Chaldeans, Iraqis, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess and dwell the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible." Okay, I want to back up to verse 5. It says, "Behold, ye among the heathens, regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your day, which you will not believe, though it be told to you." Like some of y'all out here don't believe what I'm saying. "Though it be told to you, for lo, I will rise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible, dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. You know, Sharia law and all that. And he goes on to tell you what he was seeing, what he's describing this stuff in his time. The horses are also swift than the leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horses shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. And they shall, look at these horsemen shall come from far, and they shall fly as an eagle that hasten to eat. And they shall come all for violence, and they shall stir up the eastern wind. But bottom line, they come from all over the world. It's an ideology, people. You know, I have that post up on my page on Facebook called Road to Armageddon. If you ever want to read about them, all you have to do is go to Road to Armageddon. If you want to read the whole story and all the lies that we have been told and just breaking it down, making it plain for you, get my book called The Caliphate, Rise of the Islamic Nation and Temple Mount. My other book is called The Revival of the Roman Empire, The Return, The Rise of the Antichrist, The Return of Christ. It deals with the rise and fall of world government, the vision that Daniel had of that statue. Last book is The Devil's Workshop. The Devil's Workshop tells you what church is supposed to be, but is not. The false doctrine that is there today. You know, so this is what we're dealing with, people. We're dealing with the end. What are you going to do? I'm telling you the answers all the time I talk to you guys out there. I tell you every time, truth. Because, see, this is where we're at today. This is what's really going on. I'm going to Samuel 3. And it goes on to say, and the child is Samuel chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. It says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. See, scriptural understanding wasn't prevalent. It wasn't all around like now. There's no scriptural understanding now. Now you have all these false belief systems out there. And that's what I'm talking about. It was not, he said there was no open vision. There wasn't too many people who really understood the word of God. Just like today, you got all these churches, but nobody seems to know what to do. Nobody's really warning the people and saying, hey, time is up on you. Here is Matthew to show you that's where we're at today, even now. And he says, Matthew 7 and 13, he says, enter ye in at the, straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that lead it to destruction. There's many ways to lead to destruction. And he says, and many there be that be which go it and therein. He says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which lead it unto life, few there be that find it. Few. That's what was happening in his day, too. It was no open vision. There wasn't a whole lot of people standing around who understood the scriptures. And so then it came to pass at the time where Eli was laying down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see in the air. In other words, before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, Samuel was laid down and laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered him, Here I am. But the bottom line is the lamp. It says the word of God is a lamp unto my feet. So the word of God has basically gone out in the temple today. You go to church, they practice some witchcraft. Even people who baptize in Jesus' name, they're using this foreign tongue. And if you read Acts 2, you hear them saying the miracle of the day was that every man heard them speaking in his own language. It wasn't some unknown tongue. In Isaiah 8, it talks about those who speak in this unknown tongue, call it peep and muttering, And it says these people have a familiar spirit. In another scripture, I'm not looking right at my notes right now, but I was studying that. And it says that is a sign. When you see people speaking in these unknown tongues, that is a sign of a person that has a familiar spirit. It has nothing to do with God like people try to make you think, talking about evidence of speaking in tongues. Where do you see that in the scriptures? I heard in Mark 16 talks about they should speak with new tongues, but it's not talking about no babbling, peeping, and muttering, because the Bible calls it peeping, mutter, and chirping. And it really does sound like that when you listen to these people supposedly speaking in this tongue. So you have to watch out for that. There's no open vision today. You know, there's not a lot of people who have an understanding of the scripture. It said be few that find it. I've been blessed to understand that. Few, not a whole lot. This is what's going to be the ending of a lot of these people of today. It says, and they talk about they go out and they field servicing in there, the people walking and knocking on doors, and you know all these organizations doing all that. Not just the Witnesses, they got the Mormons, they got Baptists, they got everybody go out at some time and say they're going to do a field service, but without the truth. They don't have the plan of salvation. They don't have what's going to deliver you. They don't have what's going to bring you in contact with God. They don't understand that except a man is born again, he cannot see it. He cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot understand it. They don't understand except you're born of water and spirit, you cannot enter into it. They don't understand that Acts 2:38 is necessary. As it was saying in John, the Gospel of John, that I was looking at, how it said that, and a lot of people miss that. They don't really pay attention. It says they were condemned because of what? They didn't find the name necessary. Now, look, this is the Gospel of John, and he said, I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to pick up on verse 18, 3 and 18. He says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. People, oh, you just got to believe on Christ. Now, let's do what it's saying now. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because what? Because he believes not in the name of the only begotten Son. They did not feel it was necessary to be baptized in Jesus' name. And this is the condemnation that light, the knowledge of God, has come in the world. And man loved darkness rather than light, the knowledge of God, because his deeds were evil. They are hiding in the closet, stuff that you don't know about. They won't come. They won't get baptized in Jesus' name. And then they're thinking that they're going to come up with some their own righteousness, their works. That's what he's talking about, works. You know, their own actions. You can't get in. You got to be obedient to the scriptures. That's what Paul was talking about when he was talking about it in James. He said, I'll show you my works through my obedience, not through me out here doing some religious service. Look at this. This is what's going to happen to many people. And this is Matthew 7 and 21. It says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that do it, the continuous, the will of my Father which is in heaven, those that are obeying the scriptures. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess it to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers, ye that work in iniquity and lawless. You have never submitted to this. That's the problem. But he tells us what we see in the day, don't be worried. You need to come to Jesus. You need to get baptized in Jesus' name, filled with his Holy Spirit, water and spirit, repentance, remission of sin, all in Acts 38. No other name given among men whereby we must be saved, Acts 2:38. He washes in his own blood, Acts 2:38. People, I thank you guys for your time, and my time is running out. You got to get my books at Amazon.com. And like I said, the Caliphate Rise of the Islamic Nation in the Temple Mount. Then there's the Arrival of the Roman Empire and the Devil Workshop, all at Amazon. People, it's time to repent. He's given us all the warnings we need. You play around, you're going to be lost with this nation and this world. I thank you guys for coming out for Revolutionary Gospel News. You'll hear from me Saturday. when you tune back in at 5:30 p.m. Central Time. All right, thank you, guys. This once again is Arthur Joseph Smith with Revolutionary Gospel News.